Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Two Sushi Rolls Podcast. I am your fucking host, George E., King of the fucking castle, and I am here joined with my lovely co-host and wife,
Leslie E., and I'm the mama bear.
That's right, don't get it twisted. So, it always feels weird the second time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, well. Guys, sorry about it. We are here with another special episode of Two Sushi Rolls Podcast. This is a little extra bonus episode. And we are here with some people we've become fans of in the past 2 weeks, week and a half. Mm-hmm. We got Kay and Vesta from the Baldwin Kids podcast in the studio.
Hello.
Thank you for coming, guys.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Despite it being a chaotic day, despite it being a chaotic start, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Guys, like I said, this is a very special episode, and you guys are going to see why in the next few weeks, and I hope you guys really do like that. What we got for you guys here is some of the most versatile guys when it comes down to podcasts. I'm the kind of guy who really likes dirty shit. And then if I'm not listening to something that's super fucking dirty, I'm listening to a podcast that's going to fucking teach me something, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that with you guys, I was able to find that I was learning some stuff, not only about, you know, what you guys were talking about, but overall as a performer, as a host, I do got to say that there was a few points where I was like, man, I love that. Especially like we were talking about earlier, your palate cleanse segment on your podcast.
Yeah.
Genius. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
So, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
It's a bi-weekly podcast covering, well, the tagline of it is that we cover current political events, nerd culture, mental health, and with the occasional rant going on at the end of the show. The thing with the palate cleanse, like you mentioned, though, is that a lot of things going on in the political climate right now are trash, boring, garbage, upsetting, etc.
Absolute garbage.
Yeah. So the little palate cleanse at the end is, hey, something awesome is actually happening, you know.
That's awesome.
So, like, some 12-year-old is getting into college, or somebody invented something that'll enable people to fly. Something fantastic like that. Oh, or I think either on the last episode or the one coming up, the mention of Simone Biles, the gymnast.
Yes. She was adopted, wasn't she?
I don't know if she's adopted. What I do know, however, is that she is now the most decorated gymnast.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't think she's even 20 yet. And she's
No, she's not. She's a young kid.
She's very young.
She's tiny.
Yeah. She's very, very short.
I don't want to speak out about it, but I'm pretty positive she was the gymnast who was adopted, right?
Well, I think her grandparents raised her. Her mother ended up giving her away because she had a drug problem, I believe.
And then she tried coming into her life after she was doing really good with her career, which is shocker.
Mm. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
It does.
Unsurprisingly.
Right. And, you know, what's some of the angles that you guys are trying to come in with your podcast for people who are going to tune in? And by the way, folks, if you guys do want to tune in, we really do recommend it. Go to SoundCloud and search up the Baldwin Kids. You guys will definitely find it, and it's definitely a good listen. You guys want to go ahead and check that out. These guys are fantastic. I love the titles. Some of them are fucking hilarious. I like that.
What have we got so far?
Ass radishes
was the first episode I saw.
Yeah, that was the one.
Ass radishes. I don't remember the first one.
Mess and egg wash lace fronts.
My absolute favorite. That's like my favorite title so far.
Nike and the Big White Mad.
Yeah.
No, that was the read. It was Kavanaugh, but spelled N-A-W.
Kevin N-A-W.
Because no.
No.
But, we try to make the titles inventive and based on what's going to be talked about in the show.
Gotcha.
What's the current one? It's like mentioning Michelle Obama.
And a dash of murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And midterms that, Michelle and dash and, of murder.
Yeah, because our little rant section at the end of the show, I think we had kind of collaborated on the rant because it was about there's some drama going on surrounding this kink family. out, I believe, in Seattle.
But they were San Francisco.
I know they started in San Francisco, and I'm pretty sure they moved up to Seattle. Okay. And scarily enough, are thinking about moving to Chicago.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely not.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, sidebar, fall allergies are just destroying me, so I'm probably going to be clearing my throat.
No, it's all right, guys. There's plenty of stuff that, you know. This is a bonus episode anyways.
Right.
Whatever happens, happens. We want our listeners to understand that this is fucking real life. There's obstacles. Exactly. And just so you guys know, we did promise that we were going to get you guys a bonus episode due to the fact that we had a cancellation from those who shall not be mentioned no more longer.
Basically, they cancel on us like that day. So
we are trying to give you guys this extra episode on. I mean, it's the day after, you know, Thanksgiving.
So thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you guys for listening. But this is a little bit more difficult because, of course, we got family. So we got all the kids here in the office. And
yeah, we're even trying the honey badgers here.
We got a lot of honey badgers. Don't give a fuck. All right.
That's what you call her.
No, that's what I call myself. But she's definitely like me. She's a honey badger.
Yeah.
You guys seen the video?
The door.
With the honey badger?
Which one?
Oh, my God. Hey, Mo, can you pull that up real quick?
Oh, boy.
You guys got to see this. Just search up Honey Badger Don't Give a Fuck.
Honey Badger Don't Give a Fuck.
Yeah.
But that's her.
I've heard about that. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, you guys are going to love this. Watch this. There it is. Honey Badger Don't Care. The top one. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I see this.
The honey badger. Watch it run in slow motion. It's pretty badass. Look, it runs all over the place. Whoa, watch out, says that bird. Ew, it's got a snake. Oh, it's chasing a jackal. Oh my gosh. Oh, the honey badgers are just crazy. The honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit. If it's hungry, it's hungry. Ew, what's that in its mouth? Oh, it's got a cobra. Oh, it runs backwards. Now watch this. Look, it sneaks up in a tree. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants. Whenever it's hungry, it just, ew, and it eats snakes. Oh my God, watch it dig. Look at that digging. The honey badger is really pretty badass. They have no regard for any other animal whatsoever. Look, and it's just grunting and, ew, eating snakes. Ew, what's that, a mouse? Oh, that's nasty. Oh, they're so nasty. Ooh, look, it's chasing things and eating them. The honey badgers have a fairly long body, but a distinctly thick set.
Honey badgers don't give a fuck.
Honey badgers don't give a fuck.
No. It can get stung by cobras, and it'll come back. It'll just sleep it off. It doesn't give a fuck. It'll sleep it off. Yeah, so that's what we... That's what I'm like a honey badger. And so
and
is she.
She's definitely...
She's definitely a lot like me. Yeah. Yeah. Pain in the ass.
They do that sometimes.
But thank you for coming all the way over here.
Yeah. And putting up with this. Yeah, I mean, definitely also... I mean, I think it's safe enough that we could say it on the air now, right? I'm like one of those people who, when they got something, like a present for somebody,
okay.
It's like, I can't wait till the next day. I'm like, no. I want to give them the present
now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
We really, really wanted to sit down and continue to talk to you guys about your podcast in the future. And we definitely got a lot of stuff we wanted to talk to you guys about. And we'll do that a little bit off the air. But, man, I mean, I really hate to continue to repeat myself, but we really, really, really enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, and I have a question. Where did you guys get the inspiration to start one? Like, where did it start? Who started it? What?
So, you, Kay, have the idea for a podcast. You had one for a really long time before you even knew who, before we even met, because we had only known each other for, I think, exactly a year now.
Give or take.
Yeah.
So you had one?
The
Before?
Idea for one.
Oh,
he,
the
like,
idea.
Had a, he wanted to start a podcast, and then I met him, and he talked to me about it. But the big one was when we went to...
WakandaCon.
Yeah, WakandaCon downtown. And...
which, one, was absolutely amazing.
That was, like, a holy experience. But there was a lot of... How many did we see? I think we saw two podcasts, right?
Yeah, there was Geek Set and the Uppity Negros podcast.
Yeah, we saw both of those.
We saw Geek Set and then hung out with the girls in the other one.
From Uppity Negros.
And It was, honestly, the whole experience of that convention was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I was just blown away with everything there. But we got to network with a lot of people over Nigerian Uno.
What's that?
Oh.
Oh, my. so there's going to be different variations for different ways different people play. But the long and short of it is, instead of just matching colors or matching numbers, you can do chains. So if somebody's got, like, a red 5, you can do, like, blue 6, blue 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm. And then you can just keep stacking them.
Okay.
You can the draw cards stack.
Yeah,
So if I were to throw a draw 2 down, and he had a draw 2, he could throw down a draw 2, and then it'll keep going,
and the last person who doesn't have a draw card gets all of the, however number that added up to, they have to draw that amount of cards.
I think you got hit with, like, 12 cards.
12, yeah, that was a stressful experience.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, but it was fun.
I've never heard of these rules before.
Yeah, you'll never forget them when you play them the first
time. It was a lot of fun, though. But talking with the people there, we got, you know, some more ideas of what to do on the creative end. We also got to, well, you, on the other hand, got told how awesome your music actually is.
Oh, God. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a very hard time accepting people saying that my music is good. Because for a long time, I was told that it wasn't very good. Whenever people give you, like, positive reinforcement, you're just like...
So, I mean, it wasn't just, like, you being overly humble. It was actually something that people put a fear in your head because of the being dicks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, a bit of... I still struggle with that, like, listening to the music that I make sometimes for the podcast or outside of the podcast. I've been doing it. I taught myself to do it like 7 years ago now, probably.
Which is terrifying, because I see you make music in Ableton, and I'm just like, how do you handle all those buttons?
Yeah, there's just like a million options and buttons. And
It's a little bit overwhelming when you look at it. Yeah it's especially when you, I mean, anything, you know, when you don't know, it's extremely overwhelming, but you've gotten comfortable with working with it.
Yeah, I went into it blind, too, so like how you felt when you first saw Ableton, like, in your face for the first time, that's what I was presented with. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to make a song with this now. And I just had to...
And next thing you know, you get to the point that your music is good enough that one of your throwaway beats is our theme music.
Well, one of the... I have a lot of instrumentals lying around, some that I was going through last night to, like, pull out and maybe reuse or hash out into something usable. And one of them was, the main theme song for the podcast was one that I made months before we had even discussed, like, starting a podcast. It was just sitting there.
This was before even WakandaCon.
Yeah, before WakandaCon, and then he heard it once, and he was like, that's the one.
Gotcha.
Right, because it's interesting enough to keep the ear, but it's not a lot.
Although, I've had a lot of people, whenever they hear it, they just start reciting Fresh Prince of Bel-Air over it, because it's got that tempo. No, this is the...
You know, I'm going to have to actually sit down and listen to the theme again and try to think about it that way.
Yeah, when the bass drops, starts doing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it fits perfectly, and I'm like, well, now I have to change it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're coming up, we're going to be recording our 9th episode soon, and might roll out a new theme on the 10th?
Yeah, we were talking about doing a new theme song for the 10th episode, which I can totally work on.
Mm-hmm. And I can actually, you know, contribute towards.
Yeah.
Because while he handles the digital side, on the other hand, I dabble in singing and playing guitar.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nothing professional, but I can hold a tune.
Nice. And what kind of guitar do you have?
Just a basic acoustic.
She's interested in guitars, too. That's why she's talking. Shut your mouth. you just got an acoustic?
Yeah.
What kind is it?
It's a Washburn knockoff.
Gotcha.
Something I got for like $30, $40 from Target on clearance.
Gotcha. Oh, it was one of those first act ones.
No. It was one from a bigger Target that had like adult size guitars.
Okay.
so I don't know. I've had it since my sophomore year of high school.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, forever and a half ago. But you know, every now and again, I'll dust it off, play it a little, try to sing, and realize my fingers are still a little too squashy.
They're not hard enough. They haven't gotten the calluses.
That and sausage fingers. So like a D chord, for example, is really hard for me to play because it's all tight and close together.
I mean, I got you. Yes.
I gotta mention this. When he went to Brookfield Zoo, he compared his hand to the hand of the gorilla.
Uh huh.
They're the same.
Yeah,
play guitar with that.
So outside of the primate house at the Brookfield Zoo, they have bronze models of like a marmoset, a chimpanzee, an orangutan, and
uh-huh.
And an adult male gorilla. And while the shape is completely different, I can get a tip for tip match.
If oh
I
wow!
My hand up against it.
Son of a bitch. That's huge. He said, "I didn't know that."
Well, that's because we haven't been to Brookfield Zoo yet.
True.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, I don't know. Let me see your hands. Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'd be surprised you could even get a G-cord out of those big-ass hands.
You'd be surprised. Determination.
Yeah. Well, you know what you should get? You'd probably feel a lot more comfortable is using Mexico-made nylon string guitar.
One of the ones.
They're actually wider.
Mm-hmm.
The necks are wider. And that's usually what they get the guys with bigger hands. To actually play. I personally have 3 electric guitars. I have an acoustic that's made in Mexico to nylon. I love playing, man. I definitely love playing as well. So I definitely get where your creative process probably comes from when you have the mind of a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And you producing music, that's pretty cool because I used to dabble in that as well.
Yeah, that was something I didn't think I would ever do, actually. Because for a long time I was very much a theater kid, and then that morphed into movie making kid, and then
gotcha.
It turned into I'm not good at either of those. Well, I'm not gonna say I wasn't good, but I wasn't like in love with either of those.
Gotcha.
And I think when I forget how old I was when I watched it, but it was a video of Daft Punk's tour in 07 when they were like touring around the country and out of the country and things.
Uh-huh.
I saw that and I found out they used Ableton. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
And why did you end up choosing Ableton out of curiosity?
Mainly because I am a lover of Daft Punk through and through, and when I found out they were using Ableton for this countrywide show, like live performance, I was like, yeah, I'm going to start with that.
Gotcha.
See where I go.
The crazy thing is that when I actually started to dabble in music production and like making like overall melodies and beats, as some people call it, I was actually using Fruity Loops.
Yeah,
I
had Fruity Loops for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's terrible. It's terrible.
But somehow,
it's a decent jumping off point.
I feel that it's the Roblox of, like, you know how there's Minecraft and there's Roblox?
Yeah, literally.
This is Roblox of, like, making music, yeah.
There are producers who have started with Fruity Loops and stayed with it, and their stuff is, like, on the radio, and they're producing for, like,
of course.
And Cardi B
yeah.
and stuff
yeah,
in
of course.
Fruity Loops.
I mean, if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing, you will find a way. You will find a way. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, but overall, I found it, I don't know, I just always just seemed a little bit cartoony. I mean, you were even able to put, like, the little
anime girl?
Yeah,
yes, that was the funniest thing I ever found one day when I was just messing with Fruity Loops, and then I was like, what is this?
And yeah, and it's, she it, dances.
And she dances to the tempo of whatever the project is. I'm like, wow. I'm deleting this cancerous garbage off my computer right now.
That's terrible.
I was like, no.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a weird program. Definitely a weird program.
But at the end of the day, it all depends on, like, personal preference and things. Because I know
a lot
of people that I know a friend who I collaborate with a lot. One of our songs is on the podcast. We both use Ableton, and I have another friend who I collaborate with. He uses Reason, and then you get people all over the place, but it all just depends on, like, what works best for you and things like that. Although I have dabbled in Pro Tools. That's arguably the scariest one out of every last one of them.
Yeah,
Pro Tools scares you, but Ableton doesn't.
No, Ableton is nothing. Ableton, if anything, me and Ableton are like arguing old couple that just like want each other to work. But
that's a good description.
But Pro Tools is like, no. Figure it out first and then talk to me.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
One of the programs that we actually were using for almost every episode, right, Mo? We only recently started to use this program that we got right now for actually recording the audio, just because I ended up taking the Mac over to my house because I was going to start doing the mastering myself.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we were using GarageBand just to do the audio recording.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, my God, I hate GarageBand. I'm like, dude, we're not mastering with this. We're just,
recording.
We're just recording raw audio. Then we'll either transfer it either to Pro Tools or what's the other one that we have? We got Pro Tools, we got Cubase, we got Logic.
Logic is the one that a lot of people have recommended to me.
And it's all preference.
Yeah.
And it all lands on preference.
They all say, like, I never liked when people were like, the only exception to this rule is Fruity Loops, because Fruity Loops is... But the only exception to
I don't think they could hear that head shake behind Fruity Loops.
But I don't like when people like give levels to things where it's like, yeah, this is beginner shit, but if you want to get really cool, you got to go to this because this is like expert. I never liked when people did that. Again, except for Fruity Loops, that is like bottom barrel.
Yeah, you know what I used to get that from when I used to do video editing. I used to really like Sony Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also another program that was extremely hands-on. It was literally the Fruity Loops of video editing, which is the pinnacle.
Oh yeah, I've messed with that before.
Yeah,
it's very
it's the Fruity Loops of the video best editing. Description of it, but I personally preferred to use Sony Vegas, which isn't like super crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the people who used Adobe were like.
Dude, you're using Sony things.
I hate that shit. Yeah. And to this day, like even when we had our video producer in the studio, he was like, "Oh, well, we got to get the software. What software do you want to use for editing?" And I was like, "Sony Vegas is fine."
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back in, and he's like, "We got all the Adobes we need." I was like, "Oh, okay, we'll do Adobe. Fuck it. You know, you're the one doing it. You know." So, but it was one of those where it's like it's just what feels the safest to me. It's preference.
Sony Vegas is like a really good one though. A lot of people don't give it enough credit because I use Vegas for a lot of things.
Yeah,
it's very.
Yeah, I mean the chroma key works fine. Mm-hmm. You know, all the little beeps and boops.
Yeah,
they all work. All the knobs and tugs. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It all works. It does what you need to do. And I used to use it just a little bit of chroma key,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of color correction. Nothing crazy. I mean, I wasn't doing a Quentin Tarantino film. Though I did want to.
I don't think I have enough fake blood for that
one. Fake blood and just like color everything orange and reddish.
Oh, you guys are fans of Tarantino?
Yes and no.
Mm.
Hey, Jess.
That's a no for you? That sounds like a hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass for you. Meanwhile, Django Unchained.
That was a good movie.
That
was a good movie.
Yeah. By far one of my favorites. You know, it's still Jamie Foxx being... Jamie Foxx as Jamie Foxx as whatever character he's playing. But it's still... The music from that movie was fantastic. The action was pretty good, if a little comic book at some points. But that's really the only one that I'm a huge fan of. I mean, the Kill Bills are pretty good.
Yeah, they're okay. I'm not a huge fan of Kill Bills.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure all the Quentin Tarantino fans out there are ripping their fucking hair out right now. My favorite Quentin movie has definitely got to be Reservoir Dogs.
Which I actually haven't seen.
I haven't seen that one either.
Man, I love it so much, man. So fucking much. It's my favorite fucking film. And I mean, it's Quentin, but... This one just has a really good twist at the end.
Okay.
And it's one of those where it's like, you start off the movie and it's like, all this fucking chaos is happening. There's a guy bleeding in the back of the fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, how do we get here kind of situation.
Right.
And throughout the story, you start seeing all the different sides of it. Mm-hmm. Really good movie. Really recommend anybody to watch that.
Oh, I'll see if it's on Netflix or Hulu or something when I get a chance.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a good watch. But that's got to be my favorite one. And there's so many people out there who will... They'll name a bunch of Quentin movies. But they won't name Reservoir Dogs as their number one.
Mm-hmm.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. But definitely... Django Unchained is definitely one of the newer ones that I think people are starting to find that appreciation for.
Yeah.
I really did like it a lot. It was very dark, you know, the stories that they tell, mm-hmm. but you can't tell a story like that without getting into something extremely fucking dark.
Exactly.
We had actually, one of our first episodes, we had actually contacted this gentleman from, what was it, Louisiana, I want to say, with the plantations, where he had the videos of the plantations.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, he went and took video, and I mean, it's like near this regular road, mm-hmm. like a road that you would use to get to my house, because I live in a little bit more of a country area.
Mm-hmm.
And they still got these plantation homes out there on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so eerie. It's so fucking eerie.
Mm-hmm.
And we had reached out to him, and we're like, you know, we really want to get you on a Skype call. We want to talk about this. And it's one of those things, man, where you look at shit like that and you're like, something terribly fucking bad happened here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you take somebody there and absolutely tell them none of the history, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna feel something. It's just one of those things, man, that you feel. And I don't know, man.
There's an energy there.
Yeah,
and you're just like
this whole continent, man. It's covered in blood.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah.
Soaked in blood, man.
Yeah.
Soaked in blood.
Hence the quote that spawned the name of our podcast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think we said that off air, didn't we?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys let everybody know why you guys ended up choosing that name for your podcast?
Okay. So just for a little bit of background, Vest and I are both black queer individuals James Baldwin was also a black queer individual, and mm-hmm. all of us are in some shade of a rage thanks to what's going on in this country 95% of the time. The quote is, if I remember correctly, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we do with that podcast is to kind of blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Because you can only see, you know, so many people that look like you get shot on camera.
Right.
You can only see so many people get, judged, discriminated, kicked out, et cetera, before it starts to get to you in one way or another. And talking about it tends to be, you know, something extremely cathartic. You know, you can hurl insults at this politician or at this police officer or what have you. And while it's not as much as being able to pursue some kind of actual justice, talking shit about people still feels good sometimes.
Oh, man. It's like my livelihood. Just talking mad shit about people who deserve it. Mm-hmm.
but, yeah, I've been repeatedly saying that Mitch McConnell may or may not have a shell on his back. Just for an example.
Just a quick example.
Yeah. Or
I can't even go off on everything that I've said about people.
I can't either. Because
Mariah Carey'd a lot of people on that podcast. Whenever you, like, mention somebody.
What do you mean by that, Mariah Carey'd?
Oh, when, you mentioned somebody else, but who?
I don't know her.
I've never heard of her. She loved the what drag show she had.
It's a reference to, I forget what show it was, but at one point, Mariah Carey was asked about
what do you think about Jennifer Lopez? I don't know her.
And just smile and shake her head.
Ooh.
Even though they've worked together before that point. So that saying that was, like, shady and is apparently your favorite thing to do.
I do it to people in my past.
You do it to me all the time. And
I forget who I do it about, though.
Have
Rihanna. I do it about Rihanna.
You
no disrespect to her. I love Rihanna. She's a bad bitch. But every time I mention her, I'm like, oh, who?
You are not allowed to disrespect Robin Rihanna Fenty like that.
I hate it. But I do that all the time. Shade throwing is my specialty in my way of life.
As is mine. But, like I said, it's a good way to let off some steam. It's, mm-hmm. There's that, but then there's also, we try to talk about something mental health related.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it is consistently swept under the rug in the black community. It's ignored, it's swept under the rug, that's a white people thing, stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm in my late 20s, and I'm only just recently started trying to explore, you know, that department, like, trying mm-hmm. to get some kind of mental health care, just, you know, to kind of get myself checked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me this long to do it because of the stigma against it.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll cover, you know, things like, I think our last episode we talked about, having to code switch even in front of some of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how we have to guard our behaviors because we're also both fairly large people. I mean, we're both, you know, 6 feet or taller
mm-hmm.
and pretty broad-shouldered. So the idea of, like, changing your posture to seem less threatening so you mm-hmm. don't run the risk of getting shot or attacked or blamed or what have you.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Or, like, the story, I think I told Vesta about this a while ago, about how my ex and I went shopping one day in Target. And we started off by picking up an online order from the front, and my immediate first thought is, oh, no, okay, I don't want them to think that I'm stealing anything. Let's go drop this off at the car. My ex, on the other hand, was like, just drop it in the car, or just drop it in the cart. It's fine.
Mm, yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's something that I, even if I don't want to, I kind of have to keep in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because somebody is going to keep it in the forefront of their mind and make things harder for me.
Yes. Right, right. No, I completely agree with you. I definitely get where you're coming from experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a minority as well. You know, I'm an immigrant. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents are immigrants. I'm an immigrant. I was brought here as a kid. But one of the things that I've always spoken about was that I got to see both sides of the veil, because I'm very light-skinned. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, I was even more light-skinned. Mm-hmm. So unless you knew I was Mexican, I was white.
Yeah.
So I've been, and I've said the story before where I've gone to the store with my mom where she goes ahead of me. I'm buying my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And I see the way the girl at the register treats my mom. And then I come in literally right behind her, and I see the treatment that I get because I'm light skinned, and they don't know that that's my mom and all that. Mm-hmm. So I've had moments like that where I get, and I've always said it. There could be a million white people out there who say that white privilege isn't a real thing, and I could sit here and tell you yes, it is, because I'm experiencing it right now, mm-hmm. every day.
They think that just because they don't experience the negative side of it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, no.
They overall don't believe it's a real thing.
Yes.
That's the issue. Mm-hmm. And
objectively, it is a factual thing.
Correct, yeah.
I actually took a class about a year ago called Racial and Ethnic Relations, mm-hmm. and the book for that class actually had just an entire appendix of charts and figures and this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. Saying, you know, this group of people is at the top of this, and it's not anything subjective. It's just an actual objective fact. You know, mm-hmm. Fortune 500 companies are run 95% by old white men, mm-hmm. Even though white people are, I want to say, 60-ish% of the population, mm-hmm. Only make up less than a third of the prison population.
Right.
You know, things like that. You know, you can say that you don't have privilege as much as you want, but the numbers
don't lie.
The numbers don't care about how you feel. They're exactly. going to be there either way. Yes. Yeah.
I agree. I 100% agree. And I'm talking from, because I can be very right on some issues and I can be very left on some issues. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It all depends on what issue we're talking about. And I like to be fair and I like to see things on both sides. And when it comes down to these injustices that are happening, and it's disgusting, it's scary. And the one thing that I always like to tell myself in my head is, this is the world that my kids are going to be growing up in.
Right.
You know, fuck how I feel. Fuck what our people are doing. What about our kids? Our kids' kids. This is the world we're leaving them with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, I mean, it's scary. You can't reach for your wallet. You get shot. Whether if you're a Latino or black, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah,
you know, people are getting pulled over just because of the color of your skin. They run your plates. You got a Mexican last name. You're going down.
Yep.
You know, they'll find a reason why. You know,
they'll put one there.
Oh, they'll put one there. Yeah. And it's absolutely.
Oh, yeah, there was a video that popped up of, I don't remember where the cop was from, but just literally planting
Bronx. Yeah, the Bronx just recently, right?
And
yeah,
he got to keep his job. Literally, yeah.
His camera stopped recording. And then all of a sudden it comes back on and it's like, oh, look what I just found. And it's like fucking roach of a blunt.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, why are you putting... There's literally more paper matter than the pot. Like, are you really that bored?
Really?
Like, it's... Like I said, it's exhausting. It's tiring. And it's cathartic to talk shit about it. Hence, our podcast.
Yes.
But... We're also, like I said before, I hadn't mentioned before that we're both colossal shades of nerd in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of our episodes we had a whole thing about Steven Universe because he got me into it.
Mm-hmm. the one of the best kid shows, modern kid shows that has come out like ever.
What's Steven Universe?
Steven Universe.
Hang on a second. Can we take a quick break, real quick, Mo? Play the track. I'm sorry, folks. We're gonna take a quick. This is such an unorthodox fucking episode, but I guarantee you guys, it's gonna be worth it. We'll be right back. All right. right, guys, we are back. Thank you for waiting. Like I said, unorthodox episode. But before we went on this quick little break, you guys, we're talking about Steven Universe.
Oh, yes.
And, shut your mouth, girl.
Sorry, Zelda's shut here your mouth. Again.
Yeah, so go ahead. You were what were you saying about Steven Universe as
Steven
a show?
Steven Universe is like one of the best kid shows that has come out.
I agree. It's full-heartedly.
Got representation, it's got action, it's got,
It talks about emotions.
Yes. Talks about emotions. Heart. Talks about, you know, how some people may be seen as completely good but actually aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And rich. Relationships, healthy, unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, definitely. With
that was, yeah, that was one of the biggest ones.
The art style may take a little bit of getting used to because it's kind of quirky sometimes. And the first season is the hardest to get through.
Yeah, the first season, because when I told Kay about it, I was like, we're watching this from start to finish so you can get caught up before the new ones come out. And I remember I was watching the first season. I hadn't seen the first season in so long. And I'm like, wow, this is fantastic.
Right.
This is great.
But the thing is that it has a lot of elements. I hesitate to use the term adult elements because that makes it sound risque.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of things that are subtly dropped in there that the adults mm-hmm. can relate to. Like mm-hmm. even in the first couple of episodes of... one of the kids commenting on how he doesn't want to have a job and just make a paycheck and die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he came out with that, I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not salacious, but it's something that grown-ups are going to be able to resonate with
right.
more than the average kid. The comedy in there is pretty funny.
Yes.
It's very modern comedy. It isn't cheesy, and it's not just like doing the most to do the most. It's like it fits.
It's actually funny.
Yeah.
Right. And Garnet is still my favorite. Square Mom is best.
She's right behind you.
Oh, no, like legitimately, I'm a pop figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite shows. Those are mine.
Gotcha. But
yeah.
Square Mom is best mom, and then we've got Fun Mom and Bird Mom.
Fun Mom?
Yeah.
Amethyst. I never considered Amethyst the mom. I never did.
Everybody yeah, she's more like an older sister.
I said sister.
Sister.
I always said sister. Whenever people call her mom, I'm like,
Yeah.
They're all moms to Amethyst and Steven.
But we ended up having a whole segment about that.
Yeah.
But also,
oh, okay.
We should at some point probably integrate the fact that we ID with the diamonds a lot.
Hardcore.
He's very much blue diamond. I'm very much yellow diamond.
Because oh, I haven't gotten that far.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I don't
so
know
no,
if you want us to.
No.
Oh no, you can. You can.
No. Okay.
No. Do we really want to spoil it?
No, don't spoil it because I still want to watch. It.
Oh, okay. It's a really good cartoon.
I mean, it's not like spoilers as far as like story elements. It's more of just like characters that you know exist, and it's just sort of like how they act.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'll try to keep it from being as spoilery as possible. Just saying that blue diamond is very emotional. And Yellow Diamond is very no-nonsense.
No-nonsense, very calculated. Whereas Blue is very, like, prone to let her emotions just, like, explode. And there's a specific reason as to why, which is actually a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
And
so we're not going to get too far
yeah.
away, but suffice to say, I will steer you into dust.
Mm-hmm. And I'll cry about it.
Yeah. I feel like cartoons, they really have dumbed it down, I guess. They made the storyline a lot more simple, because if you compare, like, the Teen Titan,
mm-hmm.
like, the old one was a lot more serious, and there's a lot more action, actual story to it.
There's a lot of deeper
and character development.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the newer one has a lot of comedy, and while it's good, it's not the same whatsoever.
It's not, yeah.
It's comedy, silly,
and
no really deep meaning.
And it's like that Scream level self-aware comedy where they're like, at that point, they're making fun of themselves.
Which,
all day, every day.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of deserved, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like Steven Universe still has that, they used to be a lot of deeper meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot more modern,
mm-hmm.
but it still kept that storyline quite,
yeah.
it's still there.
Yeah, but if you, especially because he watched it through the second time when I'm watching it through the first time, watch it through twice.
Rebecca Sugar, the creator
the second time,
of the show.
You're going to notice all the little nuggets of foreshadowing.
I love that.
She is a genius. And she's like,
what's her name? Rebecca
Sugar.
Yeah.
And she apparently had started the show years ago, and she apparently confirmed at one of the cons or something, she like had the whole show from start to finish, written down how it was going to start, what was going to happen, and how it was going to end. So she knows exactly what's going to happen, but it was a matter of filling things
in. Filling, like, tiny little gaps.
Yeah, yeah. But she had the whole, she has the whole story planned out, so she knows how, exactly how it's going to end, and oh, she's not telling any. Yeah, and it scares me. It's just like...
So it's not... I thought they were saying it was going to end, like, last year.
No, they are coming out with a movie of it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So, at the most recent convention that I watched the whole live feed of, they premiered the newest episode, which reveals the latest diamond, the head diamond. She... And at the very end, they were just like, oh, by the way, everybody, they had did all the Q&As and stuff and talked about the show. And they're like, oh, by the way, we have one last thing for you. And they just... dropped a trailer, and they're like, okay, bye.
Oh, wow.
Ended it. Yeah.
That's,
wow.
That's awesome.
And the trailer is the most enigmatic trailer for a cartoon movie I've ever seen. It's only like 10, 15 seconds, and you're terrified at the end of it. You're just like, what? You want questions, and they've been working on it for like a year and a half. It's supposed to come out next year, and wow. It's just a huge dump of just info that at that panel. It's, I figured it was. Bomb. Yeah, literally. speaking of which, they are actually dropping the newest episodes in December, starting with the one that they aired at the convention, which got leaked everywhere. I don't know why Cartoon Network getting better with that, but
yeah, right. It got leaked everywhere. That happens everywhere. A lot.
It got the first episode of the now sixth season it leaked out, but that's the first episode of the newest bomb, and they have five new songs coming out, and they're releasing all of them like iTunes and Spotify, so they're gonna be like probably some of the best songs.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm excited for it, but yeah, that Steven Universe is, holds a very special place to me.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's really
it is,
cool.
It's a very good cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I have like the first five episodes. I have a CD with five episodes on it,
mm-hmm.
and my stepkids just rewatch it over and over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a show to watch. It's something that I want to finish watching.
Yeah.
You know? It's very good past the first season.
Yeah. I stopped right before I
can't even remember.
It had to be years ago when I stopped. Because I watched it right when it first came out.
Yeah, so you were... Like, I'm telling you, OG. The first season is, like, rough. And it's very... It's just rough because they were under Cartoon Network's lease. They're like, okay, we greenlit your show, but you're going to do what we say.
Yes.
Essentially. You can follow your story and whatever, but you got to do exactly what we say. You got to draw it like this with these people and da da da. But then once the show took off, they're like, okay, do whatever you want. And then that's when the show goes from like all over to just
open
straight through the story.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. We touched a lot of topics today. Social stuff. We got our cartoons. We got our little nerd culture in.
Oh, you guys are bringing like your podcast. I like that. I like that.
And once again, guys, please make sure you guys go to SoundCloud right now. As soon as you guys are done listening to this, and please go give them a listen. Give them a rate. Are they allowed to rate you guys in SoundCloud? I'm not too familiar with the SoundCloud platform.
No, they can like things and share things.
Yeah, okay.
Please go on there. Give them some traction. Again, it's the Baldwin Kids Podcast. You guys can find them as of right now on SoundCloud.
We're also available on
YouTube as well.
They're also available on YouTube. Look at that. And do you guys got some of your socials? Or is it the Baldwin Kids on basically everything? Or
yeah, we've also got a Facebook page up, just the Baldwin Kids Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's the same logo everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on Twitter under the at the Iron Magnus.
Okay.
And then
my Instagram that I use is just a selfie dump. But if you want to get touch with me there, it's... House of Fire, House_of_fire on Instagram.
Thanks.
Right, and you can also shoot us an email if you want to, because one of the things we do ask for on our podcast is people to talk about like their experiences. You know, shoot us an email with their experiences, be it with having the code switch or anything like that. So, or if people have any questions for us, even we also have an email account at askthebkcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check that pretty regularly and. I don't know, we use that for people's stories, you know, saying like on our episode about depression, where it was like, you know, tell us what your depression looks like.
Yeah, and we got a couple of different, how many did we get, two or three?
We had a handful, you know, people saying like they'll call off of work for a couple days
mm-hmm.
and try to get their head together, end up not cooking and ordering out or things like that.
Sometimes
it's, you know, lighthearted, sometimes it's kind of heavy, but, you know, those are two sides of the same coin of mental health. which is why it's important.
Okay. Yeah. So, guys, please make sure you guys go over there. Yeah, they touch on a wide variety of topics. Thank you so much for putting up with the kids, guys. This is the only way it's going to happen. Yeah. And, guys, happy belated Thanksgiving out there. Hopefully you guys spent it with family and loved ones. Happy Black Friday if you guys are greedy sons of bitches who are out there stomping people to the ground just to be more consuming.
I can't wait to read the stories of what would happen this time.
Right, every year. Right.
And for all the employees, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for
them.
May
the force be ever in your prosper.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming into the studio. And we also thank all of our listeners. Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode. You guys have a good holiday and goodbye.
Thank you. See ya.